I'll make it. Ah, I'm blind! Oy. Yes. How are people going to be screaming about climate change when God moved the earth to a new place?
Well, and there's that guy that people, you know, and I think moving the planet is like, it felt like it was going to fall onto the earth, and people are communicating to us because they can't come and get it.
Uh-huh. Even when you see demonstrative evidence that God is there and he's doing something,
yeah,
you're still freaking out trying to kill yourself.
Yeah.
But come on, guys.
You know, there's a normal scene of the apostles. Look at the Christ. They thought, we're going to die. But he was right there. Like, he's been working. God is going to live.
Well, Christ had never displayed anything like that. Then again, it's only prophesied that God was doing it. We haven't seen evidence of it before. So, yeah. But I think that'll believe mostly among people who don't really believe in God. They keep going, oh my gosh, all of a sudden gravity stopped working and we got flung shot into space and I don't get it. Scientists are going to be freaking out and say, oh, we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's how it works.
That's fine.
That's
where I was going.
Yeah, that's fine, though. Okay, so when you're done, I think there's one thing that's not a lot of people.
I guess. You know, I don't know. Everything's so weird. And it's like, you know what? We usually only understand it in retrospect. You can't predict how it's actually going to go in reality. That's why all these things about, oh, this is what I saw and this is all this, and you're going, it's just a fever dream brought on by his illnesses. And studying, I think it's crooked. There is no crooked, it's a zipper. How can zippers be crooked? Yes, ma'am. You're fine. Thank you. You're very wonderful to take care of me. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, it could just be fevered mind combined with, reading Revelation too much? No, not too much, but, you know, reading a lot of Revelation, you know? So, yeah, but I don't know. My first thought would be, guys, if you get something like that, that's for your own personal edification. Shouldn't write it in a book, shouldn't be publishing it. Of course, they say, oh no, you know, there was a thing that said that I needed to do this, and you go, well, okay, follow it, but, yeah. Hope you're not upset when other people are just kind of
you know, doesn't sell well, it shouldn't. Yeah. So yeah, I think almost all of these things are so that you can attribute it to God, either while it's happening or immediately thereafter. And its whole purpose, I think, not whole purpose, but a big part of its purpose in having it be said before was that God knows what he's doing. It's to increase your faith so that when all this spooky stuff starts happening and you go, oh my gosh, what on earth is going on? The scientists are just going crazy and trying to come up with these rational explanations for it and they can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense to them. And you go, God can do whatever he wants. Our understanding of how things work is somewhat limited by the fact that we've got pretty short vision. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's not because we're stupid or evil or anything particularly. Well, not a lot of us are getting evil. You know, the evil comes when you start saying, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God here. It's all easily explainable. And you go, you guys just sound more and more irrational as obvious huge things are going on for which you guys cannot figure out an explanation. So like sometimes when you listen to people and they're coming up with these very intricate conspiracies to try to explain why things are happening. And I'm sorry, I don't think very many people are very, very, very smart. That's what it says. Oh my gosh. Oh, they're trying to get kids to go to school here. Probably for some, it could be for sports, who knows. And you go, are there some conspiracies? And you go, there may very well maybe. He says, but typically, I don't credit with human beings with being very clever that way. He says, you know, but number one, I don't think we're really that clever to begin with. Number two, we don't have to be. Satan whispering in your ear and giving you ideas is quite coordination enough. And he doesn't even need coordination. I says, let me tell you. I said, are we not still harassed basically by individuals? You know, you can say that there's this whole, you know, oh, the Democratic Party are walking in lockstep, walking us to totalitarianism and tyranny, and you go, you don't have to. It's the old Gantian trick. All you have to do is say, hey man, cover my evil, and I'll cover yours. You know? I've got my trick going here, and it's doing good for me. You know, if you won't interfere with my trick, if we can make some kind of just handshake deal, that you'll keep your hands off of my territory. I'll keep my hands off yours.
Mm-hmm. Tom.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know, because there's so much propaganda about how much is different among them. You have to understand, I think socialism is a concept and a philosophy, and communism is basically an actual working manifestation of socialism, I think. Now, there's people who swear they're totally different. And you go, they have principles in common. Communism is Marxist at its root. That's where it came from, was from the ideas of Marx, which is all about, I think, the state control of production. The state controls it. And so it gets to write all the rules around it. And it usually justifies itself through the concepts of, loving two wildcats here. You must be having a big basketball conferences, but they usually wouldn't be over here. Boy, there's Dora, Pico. Anyway.
There might be seniorly for the season.
Oh, that's a possibility, sure. This is the time to try to convince these kids to go to school here.
What?
Anyway. Well, it's usually a better thing than your school's cafeteria. Anyway, yeah. So I've always looked at communism as being one method of executing a form of socialism. I always thought that way. And so when people come back and they're still fighting for socialism, and they go, no, this isn't communism. You know, it's democratic. And that's how they separate it out, I think. Communism throughout anything remotely democratic. You know. They said, we'll just kind of test people to determine the best place for them, as opposed to letting people figure out, you know. I'm sorry, what?
Depends.
Doesn't seem to be a flavor of it at the moment. Or at least how they want to execute it now. They seem to be able to use it as a wonderful... You have to understand, the socialists have to grab whatever is most titillating, I think, at any given time to try to push people toward socialism. For young people... The whole idea that things won't cost anything. You know? Free college. Free housing. Free healthcare. These are all used as tools in order to get these kinds of concepts into place. And then they can be used for all kinds of things. That's where the Green New Deal comes. And people are thinking, oh, people are so weird about green now, and they all want to be green, so we can use that to push through socialism. Although they will never use that term, but it's what will happen, you know. Government gets to decide this, and this. Government will take as much money as it feels like it needs to make this, push this stuff through, you know. All the buses will run on a timetable that the government feels is most advantageous. You know. I don't know. They'll actually run. But yeah. And you'll find, you'll just sit there and you'll go, I'm feeling herded. You know. They built this new office block. Not office block, this new apartment block. It's cheap, kind of dumpy. If you saw pictures of the Soviet Union, you'd say, oh, that looks familiar. And of course, those are places where they say it's government subsidized, costs like $10 a month to live there. You know, now, because the government's so big on that, they have the right to come into your house and inspect it to make sure that you're taking good care of this wonderful gift that was given to you by the government. You know, and while they're there, they can also decide whether it's an appropriate environment for your children. You know, it's real close to the train station that takes you to, you know, the jobs program or whatever else. You know, and you can go, how come America looks like the Soviet Union, although we all tout the fact that we all voted for this? Oh, and the great part is, well, it doesn't matter. 51%. Under the right circumstances and under the right kind of trickery in Congress could get it done. And let me tell you, is it just easier? It's just easier to say, well, I'll just move into one of the government tenements. Yeah, I'm not very happy with them coming into my house whenever they want to and basically being my overlord. As soon as they can see into my private parts, all of a sudden, I'm, you know, I have no privacy. I have no, there's nothing that really belongs to me anymore. They can say this is inappropriate, that's inappropriate. We don't like that book on your shelf. You have a choice. You can either give us the book, we'll take it away, or we'll take away your children and put them someplace where that book isn't going to influence them. You know, and you go, there's really not a ton you can do about it as a person. It's spreading everywhere. Because it is. It's when you have a natural disaster happen or a war or anything else, that's why some of these guys that have thought about it a little bit don't have a problem with wars or bad things happening to people because it drives into socialism. You know, socialism is really the anti-God. Don't pray to your God. He's not going to help you, but the government will. In exchange for you giving up your free will. You will no longer have free will anymore. We will own you. You know, it was like Joseph in Egypt. I don't think it's a feature of the scriptures, but somebody had put it out there that most Egyptians were free before this huge famine, and as time went by, they all sold their lands and they sold themselves into slavery to the Pharaoh to get food.
Yeah.
And you go, that's kind of how it goes. Now you can have a nice Pharaoh who doesn't make it terrible for you, but that changes. You know, Joseph was a great guy. Everybody loved him. And then a generation later, they said, I don't know who this Joseph fella is. They're slaves. We're going to use you to build all this stuff. And you'll do it, because if you don't, we won't feed you. That's why they really don't want people to know how to grow food. They don't really want people to know how to behave independently. Because that's part of what keeps you
out from under your
in, yeah, in the thrall. You don't have a choice. It's like, I wouldn't know how to function otherwise.
So, good.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Yeah, remind me tonight. I'll try to reorder the universe a little bit. Just another half an hour. That will do me a ton of good. I can get more done in that lesson being pushed. Hey, it was okay when we weren't trying to walk.
Yeah.
You know, that extra half hour made all the difference in the world. But now that we're back on track, it's like, this isn't working. Not being able to get everything done. I'm getting snippy because I can't get anything done. So I gotta fix it. Not to be snippy anymore. And that's the other big thing. You know, you don't want some agency determining when you're going to wake up or when you're going to go to sleep.
That's kind of like Downton Abbey, the very first episode.
The gong goes off or whatever?
No, the servants are waking up to start getting things ready.
Yeah.
And Pam says, for once in my life, I'd like to get that master.
To the lord of their house, kind of like being a regimented guy, right?
Well,
so he kind of did that way.
Yeah.
Everything was ready. Yeah.
They weren't rushed like you this morning.
Right. Where are my servants for, good golly's sake? Someday. Maybe. I just want to be a nice guy. But you have to understand the certain concept of it after a while. People have their liberty and their freedom and their, and all those things while they were here on Earth. If they didn't use that to get themselves a place as a lord in the next world, guess what? Just waking up at 6:30 every morning, rain or shine.
Yeah.
You know? And they might sit there and grumble and say, I don't have any control over my life. And you go, you did during the crucial time, and you made a choice. I think the scripture says that everybody will acknowledge that the Lord is Lord. It didn't say they were going to be happy about it. You know? Most of the telestials here on Earth are free to do what they want, right? Everybody is. But if they choose to fritter away their time doing foolish things, their agency to continue doing that's taken away. You know, you are a factory laborer. In heaven, nice place, but yeah, you're a street cleaner. You're a, you know, if you get really lucky, you might get to work at the big house for the Lord and the lady. And you can be there and you can get all pissy about that and say, you know, like Thomas did, you know, whoa, what makes them better than us? And the only problem is there will be an answer to that question. They merited this in their lives and we didn't. And you can still be gripey about it. There's nothing to stop that. But most of the gripiness will be on other levels that you don't have to see. So what does that mean for us? If you want to be a lord or a lady, yeah, we might want to get about what Elder Torres is talking about. I always thought that people who tried to access Christ would eventually run into the church. You know? That's true. They will. But you know, we have to be instruments to that. That's why I say, you know, I can preach about transcendence. When they say, I'm a Baptist, they go, well, then I want you to be a transcendent Baptist. Now, at some point, if the road on your transcendence means that you stop going to that church, start going to another one, I hope you don't get weird about that. But I'll talk to you about the road of transcendence as I know it. It says, here, read this book, Book of Mormon. Smart. If you find yourself...
You will find many examples of
transcendence. Yeah. Yeah, and... If you keep going to a place on Sunday where they denounce this book after you've read it and said, hey, this is good stuff. I even prayed about it. It says you'll find yourself distancing yourself from those people. Until you're ready to come back and say... I found this. You can find it too. You know, Baptists aren't bad people. They just, like most people, have a severe lack of knowing what this all is. And if they're killing themselves trying to keep you down, no, stay with us. Don't get all transcendent on us. That's not right. Christ will come with his magic wand and change us. And you go, you know what? I'd rather give him a better target. I think there's some things I can do. Christ never appeared to be very interested in the lazy or the indolent, which is kind of what you guys preach. You go, don't be like that. Push forward. Push it, push it, push it. So. Let's try to lead better lives. We've got lots of examples of better people. Let's try to emulate them. Christ being the foremost. Oh, I could never be like him. That's blasphemy. And you go, he told you to be like him. This is, I don't mean to be cruel, but you guys sure have set up a lot of roadblocks to doing what Christ said to do. And you go, oh yeah. He's really impressed by your lack of just being baseline obedient. So that's all. So do better. Let's all do better. And we'll all rise. We'll all get better. Encourage each other. It's amazing. So go to church for. Okay. Awesome. I do. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. It's been healing for days. Don't screw with it. It'll get all infected. I don't mean to be rude. Well, I'm sorry.